I want you to open your Bible tonight, if you have one, in the New Testament, to the fifth book of the New Testament. It is the book of Acts, literally a book of action. If anybody tells you that the Bible is a boring book, they have never read the book of Acts, because it is one of the most action-packed books in all of Scripture. And it is a record of what the Lord Jesus Christ did in the early days of His church. And by the way, it's a great thing to be a part of what God is doing in this world. The biggest thing going on in Vancouver is not the World Cup, it's not anything else. The biggest thing going on in Vancouver is what is going on in places like this where people are reading the Word of God together. Now, if you don't have a Bible with you tonight, it's all right. I'm going to read from my copy, but if you can scoot down and get next to somebody that has a copy, I'd love for you to put your eyes on it because I think it'll help you. Acts chapter 20 is the chapter we're in tonight, and it is an amazing story of a man by the name of Paul. Maybe you've heard of him. He was, like I am, a traveling preacher here, there, everywhere. He always had the same message. No matter where he went, he preached Jesus. He shows up in a town by the name of Ephesus. Ephesus was a place filled with lots of religion. In fact, there was a temple to the goddess Diana. It was a place of great wealth. It was a place of culture. And when Paul showed up, he was there just for a very short time initially. He preached Jesus to them. And they said to him, "Would you come back and tell us more?" And so Paul, on his next trip through the region, stopped again in Ephesus. And this time, he didn't stay for a few days. This time, he stayed for almost 3 years. And may I just say, usually, I just get to stay for a day or two somewhere preaching, but I sure thank God for people like Pastor Turner and others who go somewhere and stay so that people in that community can hear the truth of the Word of God. And that's what Paul did for 3 years. And then he had to leave again. When you come to Acts chapter 20, Paul is on his last trip. In fact, he can't even get all the way to Ephesus. He's on his way to Jerusalem and from there to Rome. That's the rest of the book of Acts. So here's what he does. He sends for his friends from Ephesus. And he says, "Would you come to where I am and let me have a brief meeting with you?" And so they arrive. I'm looking around this room right now. It's quite a crowd here. I don't know how many were in that meeting with Paul and the believers from Ephesus, but it was a tender meeting. Look at Acts chapter 20, beginning in verse number 18. "And when they were come to him, he said unto them, Ye know, from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons, serving the Lord with all humility of mind and with many tears and temptations, which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ." Would you jump down? You're in the passage. Look at Acts 20. Would you jump down, please, to verse 24, because it's my favorite verse. He says to them, "But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy in the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify," would you mark this in your Bible, "the gospel of the grace of God." I want to tell you tonight, I'm speaking as a preacher, that preachers don't make the difference. In fact, churches, I mean by that buildings like this, they don't make the difference. Even groups of people. Somebody said, "We got a lot of people tonight." Great, great. But you can have a lot of people. That's not what makes the difference. Do you know what makes the difference? It is the gospel of the grace of God. That's what makes the difference. In a world of sin, in a world of hurt, in a world so confused and searching for answers, in a world where the devil has brought such chaos and uncertainty, there is only one thing that cuts through every bit of that and gets right to the bottom line. Only one thing that not only helps you in this world, but gets you ready for the world to come. Look here, I didn't come tonight to give you 7 steps to have a better life. I came tonight to tell you how you can have your sins forgiven and be ready to meet God when you leave this world. Amen. And there's only one thing that does that. It is what Paul says in verse 24, the gospel of the grace of God. It's interesting to me, but he starts by going all the way back in their memory and reminding them of what he calls, look at it, in verse number 18, the first day. Pastor, what was the first day of the Anchor Baptist Church? What was the first day? June the 3rd, 2001. First meeting in the rec center. Do you remember what you preached that day? You preached Jesus. You preached Jesus. You know how all this got started? It got started with somebody on the first day who opened a Bible like the Bible I'm preaching from tonight and simply preached that there is a living God who loves you so much that he sent his only begotten Son into the world, and that that Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, lived a sinless life, died in the place of sinners, was buried, and then did the unthinkable, the unimaginable. 3 days later, he didn't stay dead. He came out of that grave alive forevermore. And watch this. That wasn't just the message of the first day. That is the eternal message. He moves from the first day. Look at verse 19 again. He comes to the many seasons. The end of verse 18, he said all seasons. My wife and I make our home, though we're not there often, in the mountains of West Virginia. Anybody here ever been to West Virginia? I'm just curious. Anybody? A handful of people? Good. It's a beautiful part of the world. It's very rural. It's mountainous, mountain people, simple folks. That's how I grew up. It's a wonderful place. And where we live, there are 4 very distinct seasons. There's a very distinct winter, a very distinct spring, a very distinct summer, a very distinct fall. Fall's my favorite. The leaves all turn color and change. It's beautiful. There are seasons that I love more than others. How many of you agree with that? Like right now, you are in one hot season, aren't you? This was not what I anticipated in Vancouver, let me tell you. Wait a minute, stick around. It'll change. How many of you lived here long enough to know it's going to change? Watch this. Seasons come and seasons go, and no season lasts forever. But watch this. There is one thing that never changes. Would you like to know what it is? It is the gospel of the grace of God. People live and they die. Buildings are built and they're burned. Businesses are started and they close. Cars are bought and they break down. Clothes are made and then they get destroyed. Everything has its season, but there is one thing that outlives every season and never changes, and that is the gospel of the grace of God. Do you know what the word gospel means? It means good news. I made a mistake this afternoon. I shouldn't have done it. I turned on the news. How many of you have watched the news lately? And there's little glimmers of good things, but my goodness, you watch the news for any length of time, it's just bad news on top of bad news on top of bad news. You know what this world needs? It needs the good news that only comes by the grace of God. See, man's good news doesn't last, but God's good news always does. This week, I was home for a day, and full disclosure, I was dealing with a personal business matter with our internet. And I called to make a change on it. And the woman that answered the phone, I did not know, was in the Philippines. She was a very kind woman. And she was helping me. And she said to me, I'm going to help you with your problem. And she told me, this is what I'm going to do. And then I'm going to do this. And she said, hold on, Mr. Pauley, let me put you on hold just a minute. And she put me on hold, and she came back on the line, and she said to me these exact words, I've got good news for you. Now, usually when people say that in business, it's not good news. Isn't that right? But it was. She said, I found a way that we can give you a discount, and you can get an even better situation, save money. Everybody ought to say amen to that, right? It's good news. We're having this conversation back and forth, and we almost finished, and the Spirit of God said to me, you should speak to this woman. Now, she's in the Philippines. It was 2 o'clock in the morning, her time. She was working the midnight shift. Her name is Kimberly. We're getting ready to hang up, and she said, "Is there anything else, Mr. Pauley?" And I said, "Actually, there is." I said, "You've given me some good news. I appreciate it." She said, "You're very welcome." I said, "I'd like to give you some good news." It got very quiet on the other end of the line. She said, "Yes." I said, "You don't know me, ma'am." I said, "But I'm a Christian minister. I'm halfway around the world, and I spend my life traveling to places telling them the good news that excels all other good news, and I think I'm supposed to tell it to you today." She said, "What's that?" I said, "The good news is, Kimberly, God loves you." And I said, "He loves you so much that he sent his son Jesus, his son, to die in your place." It opened a conversation with that precious woman. I found out she has two children. She's been taking them to a church on Sundays. She's been reading Bible verses every day, searching for truth. Do you know what I've discovered? I've discovered that the gospel of the grace of God works everywhere because everybody needs the good news that is found through Jesus Christ. May I give you three simple truths, and then we're going to have a prayer together? They all come from these verses. Would you look at your Bible again? Look at Acts chapter 20. Here they are. Let's take them right in order. Start, first of all, in verse number 21. And let me tell you, first of all, and the gospel of the grace of God is for all people. Would you look at it? It's for the Jews. I like this. And also. Anybody glad for the "and also"? And also to the Greeks. Are there any Jewish friends here with us tonight? Would you raise your hand, any Jewish friends? I was seated next to a Jewish man on an airplane the other day. And he didn't think I'd want to talk to him. And I said, "Jesus was a Jew." And I said, I love the nation of Israel. I've been to the Bible lands. I said, "You know, God loves everybody." I found out he was a Hollywood producer. He just helped finish producing a movie on the Last Supper. And he said to me, he said, "You know, preacher," he said, "I had to read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John in preparation for this movie." I said, "That's very interesting." And I said, "So you've been reading about Jesus?" And he said, "I have." And I said, "Well, tell me what you think about it." I'll never forget that moment. He looked at me and he said, "I think he rose from the dead." I said, "Guess what? He did." See, the Bible says that the gospel is to the Jew first and also to the Greeks. How many of you are not Jews? Would you raise your hand, please? Okay, so you fall in the second category. Here's the beautiful thing. Look, there's a lot of prejudice in our world. Let me tell you that there's nothing more equal than the gospel of Jesus Christ. In the book of Galatians, the Bible says God doesn't see you as male and female and bond and free and Jew and Gentile. Look, God doesn't put us in boxes like we put each other in boxes. God sees every one of us as sinners in need of a Savior, and everybody gets saved the same way. The gospel of the grace of God, it's for everybody. Would you look me in the eye and hear me with your heart just a minute? I'm going to tell you something tonight. I may never speak to you again, and you may never see my face again, but I'm telling you tonight on the authority of the Word of God as the Lord's messenger to you, God loves you. And I don't care what you've done, and I don't care who you are, and I don't care what your background is. You need the good news of the gospel of the grace of God. You know what grace is? It's what you don't deserve. That's what it is. Some of you are trying real hard. That's why you're here tonight. Trying to clean your life up. Trying to get there. Trying to make it happen. I ask people all the time, "Do you know the Lord?" "Well, I'm working on it." May I just say, coming to know the Lord isn't based on your work. It's based on His work. When Jesus died on the cross, He said, "It is finished. The work was done, and the way of salvation was made." Amen. And everybody comes to Jesus the same way. By simple repentance and faith. So it brings us to the second truth. Look back at our verse. Look at verse 21. Not only is the gospel the grace of God for all people, but number two, the gospel of the grace of God will bring you into a right relationship with God and His Son, Jesus Christ. You see it. You got God the Father here, repentance toward God, and faith toward our, here's His Son, Lord Jesus Christ. Can I ask you something? Why not just say God? Would it not be enough to say, "I believe in God"? Look at the verse. Watch this. The only way you can come to know God is through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. There are not many ways of salvation. There are many religions. Oh, yes. But there's only one way of salvation. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Sometimes I meet people and they say, well, I believe Jesus was a good man, but I don't believe he was really the Son of God. Well, then he wasn't a good man. He was a liar. So you can't have it both ways. You've got to pick one. He's either a liar, a lunatic, or the Lord. I'm going to tell you, he's the Lord. And do you know how you come to know God? The only way to come to the Father is through His Son. Look at the verse. Repentance toward God. If you're going to turn toward God, how do you turn toward God? The turn toward God is by trusting in His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, you might want to mark in your Bible the word repentance. That's the turning, and the faith, that's the trusting. You don't disconnect those two things. They're connected. They're like flip sides of the same coin. When you repent, you believe. When you believe, you repent. When you look to God, you look away from you. You look away from every bad thing you've done. You look away from every good thing you've done. You look away from churches and families and everybody else. And you look only to Jesus Christ as your Savior. And I'm going to tell you, that's the moment of real salvation. I didn't come tonight to say, all right, let's get a line of people who want to join the church. No. I came tonight to tell you that you must come to the place where you turn from every false god to the one true and living God. And you say, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And here's the good news. Here's the gospel, the grace of God. The moment you repent and believe on Christ, you know what the Lord does? He does exactly what He promised to do. He hears your prayer. He forgives your sin. And He gives you the free gift of everlasting life. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. We're not talking about being saved from a car wreck. We're not talking about being saved from cancer. We're talking about being saved from sin and death and eternal separation from God and hell. See, you can't get to God on your own. Any perfect people here tonight? Just curious. If there is, I want to shake your hand. Any perfect people here among us? No. You know why? Because we're all sinners. We live in a broken world. We're broken people. Only one person can make us whole, and His name is Jesus Christ. Do you see that little word toward? Look at verse 21. Toward God, toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Did you and everybody's going in one direction or the other? Hey, could I ask you a personal question? Which way are you headed? What is 60 seconds from right now? God called your number. Boom. And suddenly, you weren't here with me. You were standing face to face with the Creator God of the universe. What if 60 seconds from right now, Jesus came back for those who know Him as their Savior? Could I ask you tonight, are you ready to meet God? Do you have absolute assurance that you've repented and believed on the Lord Jesus Christ? Because this is the gospel of the grace of God. So it brings me to the third truth. Would you look at the verse again? There's a little word at the beginning of verse 21. Would you look at it? What's the first word? Talk to me, class. I didn't hear you. What's the word? Everybody jump down to the end of verse 24. Just before the gospel of the grace of God, what's that word? Ah. Would you write down a third truth? The gospel of the grace of God is for all people. The gospel of the grace of God brings you into a right relationship with God and His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. But the gospel of the grace of God must be received personally. You know what a testimony is? It's your story. Looking around right now, a lot of different people in here. And every one of us has a story. And my story is not yours, and your story is not mine, but everybody needs a personal testimony of how they came to know God. I was preaching some time ago in a special meeting, hundreds and hundreds of people. It was a large arena, It was a wonderful meeting. And we had a lot of people profess faith in Christ. And on the last night, it was a happy night. I said, kind of off the cuff, let's do something. I want everybody in the place to find somebody near you and tell them your story of the grace of God in your life. Tell them how you came to believe on Christ and receive His salvation. All around that arena, people start talking to each other. It was really exciting because when you get people talking about Jesus, it shows on their countenance. It was joy. And I'm standing at the front, just kind of watching, taking it all in, and I look up, and through that huge crowd, there's two men walking down the aisle together, two guys. And I met them at the front, and I shook their hands. And the first man spoke up, and he said, "Preacher," he said, "I know the Lord Jesus is my Savior. He has saved me." And he said, "This is my friend." And he told me his name. And he said, "Tonight, when we started talking," he said, "I told him my story." And he said, "Then I said to him, 'So, buddy, what's your story?'" And the man said to him, he was honest, "I don't have a story. I'm not sure my sins have ever been forgiven." And this Christian man, who was a very discerning man, said to him, "Would you like to have a story?" And he said, "I would." And down the aisle they came, and I watched as that second man sat off to the side, and a man opened the Bible and shared with him what I'm preaching to you right now. And I watched him bow his head, pray a simple prayer of faith, and I looked on his countenance at the joy of Jesus Christ. Can I tell you that when you come to experience the good news of the grace of God for yourself, it changes everything. Early this morning, I finished preaching in a meeting. And I walked outside, and a man came to me and shook my hand, and he said, "I've trusted Jesus as my Savior." It's a good day. And he said to me, he said, "Man, this feels so wonderful." I said, "Yeah, there's nothing like knowing your sins are forgiven, knowing you're right with God. Look, only Jesus can do that for you." Nobody knew what I was preaching tonight, and I did not know what they were singing tonight. We sang one of the great gospel songs tonight, "Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see." The man who wrote those words, he was a mess. His mother was a believer. She'd prayed for his salvation. John Newton worked on a slave ship, driving slaves. And he hit so bottom, he became a slave himself. And he's sitting in the bottom of a ship, rowing. And suddenly, the message of Jesus and the gospel and the grace of God came to his heart. And John Newton put his faith in Christ, and God saved him and changed his life. That's the man who wrote "Amazing Grace." You know what he said about that song? He said that "Amazing Grace" was not a song. It was his story. It was his testimony. Do you know what I want for everybody in this room tonight? You know why I came? Look, I'm not just filling time. I didn't just need someplace to go. You know what we want for everybody in this room? We want you to leave tonight knowing that God is your Father and Jesus is your Savior, that you have received the gospel of the grace of God. And if you've received it, you'll commit to give it to someone else. Because here's what I've learned traveling. Everybody, everywhere, needs the gospel of the grace of God. Would you bow your head with me and close your eyes prayerfully all over this auditorium for a moment?